one more time, the last couple of sentences. Iran at OPEC had pressed for higher prices, but Saudi Arabia had balked. New York Times 4386, Wall Street Journal 4786. Bush's efforts bore fruit months later when Saudi Arabia and Iran agreed in an autumn OPEC meeting to boost prices to $18 a barrel, a price which brought economic relief to oil-producing states like Texas, a key political base for Bush. So at least some of the machinations vis-a-vis the Iran-Contra scandal, some of the arms sales to Iran were meant at helping to persuade them to go along with Saudi Arabia, and in a successful push for higher oil prices, obviously that would benefit Texas. One of the questions I have concerning some of the information coming in from the Middle East is to what extent this crisis may have been engineered or projected for exactly that reason. Again, not a statement I'm making, it's a question I'm asking, but it's a question I think the facts demand be asked. Under the circumstances, I think it behooves all of us to attempt to come up with a cogent answer. And since we've been going back and forth between the past and the present and reflecting on the present against the background of the Vietnam War and the assassination of President Kennedy, it might be worth taking a look at George Bush and yet another way in which his name has cropped up in connection with one aspect or another of the assassination. Now, there's no direct evidence that George Bush was involved with the assassination. His name has cropped up in connection with the investigation in a number of ways. There's a column in today's San Francisco Examiner and Chronicle, today being August 19th of 1990. It's by Warren Hinkle. It's called JFK Assassination, Wherein Lies Truth? Well, the truth lies in the 26 volumes of Warren Commission testimony and exhibits and in the massive amount of information that's already available, some of which we've gone into in the last couple of weeks. There's an interesting reference here to George Bush and the assassination. There's a fellow here, let's see, what is his first name? His last name is Raftel. His first name is, Robert Gardner Raftel. Never heard Robert Gardner Raftel. Perhaps that's the same Robert Gardner Raftel who's also referred to here as Robert Gardner in another article I'm going to read. I personally have never heard of this guy before. Don't know much about him one way or the other. There is some incorrect information in this particular column. I don't know whether it comes from Hinkle or whether it comes from Raftel, but in reference to Raftel, it says, Raftel is no conspiracy monger. He recently shot down a press report that George Bush was a CIA agent in 1963 and was involved in the assassination investigation. Raftel showed that what Bush did do was telephone the FBI and suggest that a right-wing Houston Republican who was a political enemy should be considered as suspect in the Kennedy killing. Well, this is incorrect information. Again, whether it's Hinkle misinterpreting the situation or whether this comes from Raftel, George Bush's name has cropped up in connection with the assassination in a number of contexts. What's happening here is a confusion between an article that appeared in The Nation magazine in the spring of 1988 linking a George Bush with who was a CIA agent in 1963 with inquiries in the Cuban-American community in Miami. Basically, those inquiries aimed at gauging the response of the Cuban exile community to the assassination of President Kennedy. That was attributed to a George Bush of the CIA. The CIA then subsequently denied that that was George Herbert Walker Bush, i.e. George Bush, the president, and later CIA director. An investigation of the rebuttal, I've forgotten whether it was conducted by The Nation or Newsday or just who did it, but in any case, in the archive show George Bush's political resume, that the rebuttal itself was rebutted. Now, whether Raftel was able to rebut the rebuttal to the rebuttal, I don't know, but there is a confusion in this column between the information that The Nation disclosed, later denied by the CIA, but at least kept into question by subsequent investigations, the rebuttal to the rebuttal. This is confused with an account that I only saw in the San Francisco Examiner, in which, quite correctly, the George Bush, the same George Bush, who is currently president and the former CIA director, did in fact give a tip to the FBI that a right-wing Houston Republican may have been involved in the assassination. That in and of itself doesn't automatically rule George out from possible involvement in the assassination. His motives for doing so remain unknown. It is within the realm of possibility, I'm not saying this is the case, but it's within the realm of possibility that Bush himself was helping to float a cutout. He may have been helping to direct attention away from who actually performed the killing, and we know, at least up to a point, who did it. It certainly was not this Houston Republican, although he may have been part of it. It was the military and specifically Nazi elements within the national security establishment that pulled it off, as we've seen in the past. So again, I don't know whether this is Hinkle's mistake or Raftel's mistake or both, but there is a confusion here between the Nation material and another account that came out a couple of months later or a short time later. It should be noted that in addition to those two instances that I've already mentioned, Bush's name also crops up in the context of the assassination of President Kennedy, and note the use of the term in the context. Warren Hinkle himself pointed out in one of his columns that is also in the miscellaneous archive show, The Political Resume of George Bush, that one of the a member of the board of directors of Zapata Oil, which was George Bush's oil company, owned the building in which Jack Ruby's Carousel Club was housed. And again, obviously one can't draw any conclusions from it, but with the vast maze of coincidence in, and it, obviously coincidence is one word for it, but with all of the coincidences in the various assassinations, any given the coincidences themselves assume a larger significance, because to believe that all of the many coincidences, and again, the archive shows Guns of November, Radio Free America show 11, 12, 13, and 15 all deal with Kennedy's assassination. Radio Free America 8 deals with King's killing. Radio Free America 9 with Robert Kennedy's killing. There are also miscellaneous archive shows. A miscellaneous archive show called The Impact of President Kennedy's Assassination on America. Also the miscellaneous archive show you heard last week, Lee Harvey Oswald, Edwin Walker, and the Fourth Reich. There are just too many coincidences for all of those coincidences to be coincidental. And interestingly enough, by way of bridging the past and the present, I don't know whether there's a fellow, and here this again is from Extra, the publication put out by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Research credit on this also goes to Dave, who does our Italian translations. And in the Extra issue of March and April of 1990, there's an article by Robert Gardner, and it's headlined, CIA Chief Bush Suppresses the News. And interestingly enough, this talks about then acting CIA Director George Bush suppressing information that former CIA Director Richard Helms had lied to the Warren Commission. It reads as follows. And again, this is by Robert Gardner. I don't know whether that's Robert Gardner Raftel, whether that's just a coincidence here. Documents obtained by FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, released through the Freedom of Information Act, show that George Bush, as head of the CIA in 1976, tried to bottle up a news story that exposed the apparent duplicity of another former CIA chief, Richard Helms. The story, broken on October 1, 1976, by David Martin, now CBS Pentagon correspondent, then with AP, revealed that Helms had given misleading testimony to the Warren Commission investigating the assassination of John Kennedy. Helms testified that the CIA had not, quote, even contemplated, unquote, making contact with Lee Harvey Oswald, the accused assassin. Through the Freedom of Information Act, Martin obtained CIA memos showing that in 1960, the agency, quote, showed intelligence interest, unquote, in Oswald and, quote, discussed the laying on of interviews, unquote, with him. When Bush saw the AP story in the Washington Star, he asked for an internal CIA review to see if the story was true, it was, and if it would cause problems for Helms, unquote. Helms had lied to a Senate committee about the CIA's role in subverting Chilean democracy and would later be convicted of contempt of Congress. After investigating, Bush assistant Seymour Bolton, B-O-L-T-E-N, reported back that the exposure of Helms' false testimony to the Warren Commission would probably cause Helms, quote, some anxious moments, unquote, though not, quote, any additional legal problems, unquote. But Bush was assured that a slightly better, quote, unquote, story had resulted from an agency phone call to AP protesting that Martin's story was, quote, sloppy, unquote. Additionally, Bush was told that an unnamed journalist had advised his editors not to run the AP story, unquote. Bolton complained to Bush, again quoting, "This is another example where material provided to the press and public in response to a Freedom of Information Act request is exploited mischievously and in distorted form to make the headlines," unquote. One might more accurately describe it as an occasion where George Bush's CIA pressured one news outlet to back away from an accurate story while using an asset in the press corps to suppress it in another. So it's interesting that George Bush attempted to suppress the notion that there was misleading testimony by Richard Helms to the Warren Commission, whereas Helms told the Warren Commission that there was no attempt by the CIA to consider recruiting Oswald. In fact, it is a matter of record that Oswald worked for U.S. intelligence in various capacities. In fact, as indicated here, the agency, quote, showed intelligence interest, unquote, in Oswald, unquote, discussed the laying on of interviews, unquote, with him. It's worth noting here that this is a fourth context in which Bush's name has cropped up, again, in the context of the Kennedy assassination or one aspect or another of it. It should be noted, too, that the cover story, that namely that George Bush was not in the CIA when he was appointed director, is simply not to be taken at face value. The notion that a complete outsider would be made head of the CIA is simply more than one could be asked to believe. The closest to that was the late William Casey, who was a veteran intelligence operative. He goes back to the OSS and, in fact, was in charge of secret intelligence in Europe for the OSS. The OSS and CIA are very closely linked, and if there was ever an old boy network, it's the old OSS people. Casey himself had long maintained contacts with the intelligence community. Perhaps he himself was deep cover CIA, although that was never publicly acknowledged. But there's no way an outsider would be brought in to head up the CIA. This simply doesn't work. In addition, it should be noted that George Bush was appointed head of the CIA by Gerald Ford, the same Gerald Ford who was a key member of the Warren Commission, the same Gerald Ford who obviously succeeded Richard Nixon as president. And at this time, the Congress was conducting, and there were a number of investigations or alleged investigations of the assassination. The House Select Committee was gathering steam at this time, or the move to establish the House Select Committee on Assassinations. The Rockefeller Commission plus other congressional committees were looking into CIA misdeeds and intelligence misdeeds, as well as the Kennedy assassination itself and possible complicity of the intelligence services in the assassination of John Kennedy. It is highly doubtful that that Gerald Ford would have put someone into this key position at this critical time who was not an inside player. That's simply the way the intelligence services work. So again, that's something that is to be reflected upon as we evaluate George Bush's tenure as CIA director and the fact that he was appointed by Gerald Ford, key member of the Warren Commission, at a key juncture. Again, by way of bridging the present and the past. As William Faulkner, the author, said, the past is never dead and buried. It isn't even past. That concludes the prepared portion of this broadcast. Now, all of our archived broadcast shows are on permanent file with a tape duplication company. The name of that company is Archives on Audio. That's Archives on Audio. They're located at P.O. Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117. The phone number is area code 415-346-1840. 415-346-1840. I should also mention that neither myself nor this station makes any money off of this announcement. This is FYI. This is Dave Emery thanking all the listeners for their contributions and encouraging them to tune in again to the next broadcast. Until then, take care.